All right, welcome to Christian Overcomers, and thank you for joining us for this Bible study. Part 1, the Great Seal. Is it a symbol of Satan's New World Order or God's Kingdom? That's the question we are going to explore today. And you see, I have it labeled Revelation 12c. You might be wondering, what are we doing back in chapter 12? I thought we were already on chapter 13. Well, I labeled it this way because I feel it belongs more with chapter 12 than it does 13. Although Revelation 12 and 13 are tightly interconnected in that they both deal with two opposing kingdoms. That is, the kingdom of the woman versus the kingdom of the dragon, or the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of the serpent. And you also might be wondering, I thought we were, you know, really digging into computing the number 666, the number of the beast, and so forth. Well, this study of the Great Seal is connected to that. And perhaps when we get into this series, you'll kind of see how that works. But anyways, back to our question here. Is the Great Seal of the United States, is it a symbol of the New World Order, or is it a symbol of the Kingdom of God? There are two thoughts on this. And here you see the front has an eagle on it, with the cloud with 13 stars in the middle and a slogan here, E Pluribus Unum. And then on the reverse side, you see a pyramid with what's called the all-seeing eye. Now, this is the side of the seal that many people get spooked out by because of the Illuminati's use of this symbol today now as well. And all these different things down here, you know, we'll get into the meanings of all these different things. But first, we're just going to look at the basics of this. Is the Great Seal a good symbol? Or is it a sinister plot by evil forces to build a new world order? Well, I want you to consider this verse here. In Daniel chapter 2, verse 44, it talks about a kingdom. In fact, it's called the Stone Kingdom that was going to arise in the last days. And here's that verse. And in the days of these kings, it's referring to the kings of the New World Order, the kings of that are connected to that beast system that ultimately ends up in control of the beast himself. But anyways, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Now, that is fascinating. I mean, literally, God is setting up a physical kingdom on earth in the last days. Where is that kingdom today? Think about that for a minute. Well, let's move on. If you do a Google word search on the word Illuminati, you'll find out that you'll see it's the reverse side of the Great Seal everywhere with the all-seeing eye. Whatever kind of search you do on that, you'll see that over and over again. But I want you to think about something. You know, every single conspiracy site, and there are lots of them now today, show this as the basis of the great conspiracy of the New World Order. They relate it to the Great Seal. Now, that tends to make me question. You know, if all these conspiracy sites seem to be in lockstep in believing this, That usually tells me that there's something wrong with that. And that, you know, usually the majority is not right. Well, it just so happens the majority of people who act, you know, the majority of people who look into these types of things believes that this is, America was built for a sinister purpose because of this seal. You have to be careful. You know, since the beginning of time, since the Garden of Eden, since the flood of Noah, Satan has deliberately copied and reinterpreted different historical events, different symbols, you name it, in a way to try to hide the truth. Now, I feel this has happened to our great seal. Because what happens is you get all Americans today, even, you know, dedicated Christians, looking back at the foundation of our nation with disdain. And it helps break apart the unity of our nation. Because, you know, we look back, we think, oh man, America was founded by all of our founding fathers were devil worshipers and so forth, and you just don't like your country. You know, we got to be careful of that. Satan knows what he's doing. Now, does the Illuminati use this symbol today now? Yeah, they do. But that's the way Satan works. I mean, Satan even uses the cross. Does that mean the cross of Jesus was something satanic from the beginning? Not at all. And if you've been following our series of studies on computing the number 666, you will have heard me say that over and over again. Satan copies things, steals things, perverts them. Reinterprets them, perverts them, and makes it so difficult to even understand. I mean, you look at a symbol, like let's just say people. Well, let's go back to this great seal. People look at this today, many Christians do, and they look at it with disdain. I mean, there's a lot of stuff out there that seems really believable. I've read a lot of it. I'm going to show you a book here in a little bit that I've read. And yeah, it can be quite convincing until you do your own sifting through the facts. Because I'll tell you what, most of this stuff out here is probably misinformation. Most of the stuff on this conspiracy site, it's just people will believe anything before they really check it out. Or they'll get part truth. And they're satisfied with that, and they run with stuff. We got to slow down and think about this stuff. But others out there that are just pure disinformation. I'm going to say that again. Most of this is probably misinformation. That means people honestly making a mistake and repeating things. But I think at the core, it began with disinformation. And that's because the enemy wants to hide the meaning of this symbol from our people. Because he doesn't want you to know who you are. And we'll be expounding on that as we get going here in this series of studies. Let's move on. Now, what makes Christians disdain this symbol is they see pop artists like Lady Gaga use the triangle and all-seeing eye for sinister purposes. Look at that. I mean, it's just totally disgusting, totally demonic. If you ever seen any of her stuff, any of her videos, they're just raunchy, they're rude, they're disgusting. And look at what it does. You see this all-seeing eye here, but there's something else on there. I'm not sure what that is, if that's a serpent or a question mark. So it's not identical. to the pyramid on the all-seeing eye on the Great Pyramid on the dollar or on our Great Seal. And there she is doing her little Eye of Horus 666 symbol there. And that's commonly done in pop culture in Hollywood today. So again, you look at that and you think, man, that is an evil symbol. Because these people use it. And I can understand that. Then there are others. Satanist Aleister Crowley thought he was a prophet for the Eye of Horus, represented here in this picture. Right on his head here. There's that triangle, which he considered to be the Eye of Horus. It looks very similar to the all-seeing eye on America's Great Seal. So people make this connection, conspiracy sites will. Now, I'm not downplaying a conspiracy. Don't get me wrong. I just want to make sure we get the conspiracy right and that we're not tricked by a disinformation campaign by the enemy to be looking at the wrong conspiracies. Because he doesn't want you to see where he is and what he's doing. And at times he might let you see partly what he's doing because he wants to lead you somewhere. He wants to lead you somewhere to discredit you or to get you into some other dilemma. And we got to stick with the facts and we got to stick to God's word as the foundation. All right. So people look at this and they think, well, this famous Satanist used this symbol. It's got to be bad. And then the other point brought out by many conspiracy sites is that Franklin Roosevelt, and it is true, he was the one responsible, President Roosevelt, was responsible for having the Great Seal, both the front and the back, placed on the $1 bill. And he did so, as it seems, for a prideful reason. He thought that he was helping to, he reinterpreted the building of the pyramid as needing his New Deal. And that's why he put it on there. And I really feel that God works in mysterious ways, that he allowed this man's pride in himself and his New Deal, so to speak, that brought in all kinds of socialism to America. He allowed his pride to bring forth these seals in the sight of Americans. Otherwise, many people wouldn't even have known about the reverse side of the Great Seal. Many people see the front side, but the reverse side was not really commonly known. All right. Anyways, I'm going to read something from a website from thegreatseal.com, and this is about Roosevelt here, President Roosevelt. One day in 1934, while Secretary of Agriculture Henry A. Wallace was waiting to meet with Secretary of State Cordell Hull, he looked through a State Department publication titled The History of the Seal of the United States. Okay, so, and then Wallace recollects that day. This is from that excerpts from his letters written in 1951 and 1955. Turning to page 53, I noted the colored production of the reverse side of the seal. This is Wallace saying, hey, I'm reading this book, and this is what I see here. He says, the Latin phrase, novus ordo seclorum, impressed me as meaning the New Deal of the ages. Okay, that's not what it meant, but that's what he's thinking it means. I was struck by the fact that the reverse side of the seal had never been used. Therefore, I took the publication to President Roosevelt and suggested a coin be put out with the obverse and reverse sides of the seal. Roosevelt, as he looked at the colored reproduction of the seal, was first struck with the representation of the all-seeing eye. a Masonic representation of the great architect of the universe. Next, he was impressed with the idea that the foundation for the new order of the ages had been laid in 1776, but that it would be completed only under the eye of the great architect. Roosevelt, like myself, was a 32nd degree Mason. He suggested that the seal be put on the dollar bill rather than a coin and took up the matter with the Secretary of the Treasury. He brought it up in a cabinet meeting and asked James Farley, Postmaster General and a Roman Catholic, if he thought the Catholics would have any objection to the all-seeing eye, which he as a Mason looked on as a Masonic symbol of deity. Farley said no, there would be no objection. And then it went on so on and so forth. But anyways, Roosevelt and let's go back here. I forgot his name here. Wallace. Both were 32nd degree Masons. But check this out. They didn't even know about the Great Pyramid. They didn't even know. So if this was a great Masonic conspiracy and these guys were Masons, surely they would have already have known about this symbol. But it was like they just stumbled upon it. I mean, you're the president of the United States and you didn't even really know this. So you look at it and you start making your own interpretations. That doesn't seem like that was part of a conspiracy. And here the author on thegreatseal.com. This was his comment about that. He says that Roosevelt had been unfamiliar of the reverse side of the Great Seal underscores the fact that the pyramid and eye is not a Masonic symbol or was not originally. Okay, so bottom line, Roosevelt did not invent the reverse side of the Great Seal. He merely thought it applied to his New Deal and wanted it published everywhere so everybody could see it. You know, Satan always reinterprets things. Am I saying that Roosevelt was working for Satan? Well, he was passing some pretty terrible legislation upon Americans. And his pride, he thought that he was helping to finish this pyramid. Anyways, moving on. I found this was pretty interesting. This was from the Wikipedia. This was from an article on Wikipedia titled "The Great Seal of the United States," and it's about the speculation and conspiracy theory of the seal itself. And I'm just going to read it here. It says, some conspiracy theories state that the Great Seal shows a sinister influence by Freemasonry in the founding of the United States. Such theories usually claim that the Eye of Providence found in the seal above the pyramid is a common Masonic emblem and that the Great Seal was created by Freemasons. These claims, however, misstate the facts. While the Eye of Providence is today a common Masonic motif, this was not the case during the 1770s and 1780s, the decades when the Great Seal was being designed and approved. According to David Barrett, a Masonic researcher, the eye seems to have been used only sporadically by Masons in those decades and was not adopted as a common Masonic symbol until 1797, several years after the Great Seal of the United States had already been designed. Now, if my memory serves me right, the Illuminati that had infiltrated the Masonic orders did not officially begin until 1776. So what's going on there? You have the founding of America, which was founded primarily by Christians who studied their Bible you know, on a daily basis in a way that would just make us pale in comparison. Talk about Americans today. And then you have these demonic conspirators called the Illuminati. Well, isn't it funny that when America was founded, now all of a sudden in 1776, some other group was founded at the same time? Of course, the mystery of iniquity was working all the way back since the beginning. But the point is I believe it's the Illuminati was one of Satan's attempts to steal the symbols of God's kingdom, pervert them in a way that would make it hard for people years later to look back and understand who they really belong to. Anyways, we'll get into that. The Eye of Providence was, on the other hand, a fairly common Christian motif throughout the Middle Ages and Renaissance, and was commonly used as such in Europe as well as America throughout the 18th century. Okay, so the all-seeing eye was a common Christian symbol throughout the Middle Ages and the Renaissance. Furthermore, contrary to the claims of these conspiracy theories, the Great Seal was not created by Freemasons. While Benjamin Franklin was a Mason, he was the only member of any of the various Great Seal committees definitively known to be so, and his ideas were not adopted. And I'll show you that in a little bit here. Of the four men whose ideas were adopted, neither Charles Thompson, Pierre, I'm not going to even try to say it, nor William Barton were Masons. And while Francis Hopkinson has been alleged to have had Masonic connections, there's no firm evidence to support the claim. Now, am I just going to go off of this article here and say, okay, well, it's not a conspiracy because somebody could be listening to me right now. Pastor Ben, you're going to believe Wikipedia? No, there's some evidence I'm going to show you here in a little bit that makes it basically a zero to nothing chance that the pyramid with the all-seeing eye was originally a symbol of Satan's New World Order. And there's a lot of scriptures that back up a lot of what I'm saying, but today I'm just kind of mainly looking at the history. When we get into the subsequent parts of this series, I don't know how many we'll do, but we'll do at least several of them. And we're going to focus heavily on the scriptures and relate them to the slogans as well as the symbols themselves. But anyways, moving on. I read a book a while back and kind of re-went over it here lately when I decided to cover this topic. It's called Apollyon Rising 2012. The Lost Symbol Found and the Final Mystery of the Great Seal Revealed by Thomas Horn. Now check this out. You see here you got the all-seeing eye here and the slogan here. And it says, and I'll get into these slogans later on. Not going to just skip them. Don't worry. A terrifying and prophetic cipher hidden from the world by the U.S. government for over 200 years is here. You know, I tell you what, I'm going to be honest with you. When I read this guy's book, it really made me question what I had thought I had previously known. I had to go back and research and say, wait a second, what's going on here? Was I duped? Was I tricked? And I was glad I read it because I had taken a close look at both sides of the coin, so to speak, no pun intended, to see both sides of the argument. And what I found is that there were some gaping holes in this guy's analysis. I mean, this guy was very knowledgeable concerning the pagan mysteries and things like that. But some things just weren't put together right. And some things were missing. And one of the great things that was missing, obviously, when a lot of people look at this seal and why it doesn't make sense to them, is because they don't understand that the founding fathers, going all the way back to the pilgrims, were actually descendants of what people call the 10 lost tribes of Israel. And when they don't understand that it was Israel being reformed into a kingdom for the last days, yeah, I can see why it doesn't make sense to them, and they got to find other explanations for these things. But, you know, like this book is similar to the lines of books by Dan Brown, the author of The Da Vinci Code. This author doesn't undercut Christianity like Dan Brown does. But they both attempt to connect the founding of America to a sinister group of Freemasons. Think about that. You know, Dan Brown has sold millions of books connected to this right here, trying to discredit this seal as well as Christianity. That should kind of just get you awake a little bit and wonder what's going on here. Why does everybody accept this? And why does everybody turn against it? Well, moving on. All right. Again here, the New World Order or the Kingdom of God? Well, I feel we're going to be able to prove, again, throughout this series, scripturally, that without a doubt, both the front and the back sides are symbols of God's kingdom on earth in the last days. Okay, here we go. One interesting thing I want to show here is the seven times punishments from Leviticus chapter 26. Now, basically, when you look at that, the tribe of Manasseh was, and we'll get into the scriptures of this later on, not in this study again, but in our subsequent parts. That tribe of Manasseh was taken into captivity in 745 BC. And after the seven times punishment of Leviticus 26, which equals 2,520 years or 2520, we came to the year 1776. When America became a nation and took on the symbols, the destiny and heritage promised to Manasseh in the Bible, that he would become a great nation. Now think about that. So 1776 isn't just some arbitrary date, it actually aligns biblically with the seven times punishments from Leviticus 26. More on that in another study. Okay, so another fascinating thing about the number 1776 is that if you do 888, which is the number of Jesus Christ, and there's more to it as well, but if you do 888 times 2, look at what you get. You get 1776. Fascinating. You could think, well, that's just a coincidence. Well, when we get in and we're going to go in and we're going to do probably a whole study just on this date. And I think you'll see otherwise. And then if you did our series of studies on the magic square of the sun, otherwise known as the seal of the sun to Christians, because we don't really look at it as magic. It's just a square that has all the scientific numeric. It has a bunch of numerics that relate scientifically to the movements of the sun and magneticism and things like that. It's pretty fascinating. But Well, we found out that each of these rows and columns equaled up to 111. All right? Now, 111 is an interesting number. It's a very fascinating number. But here we got, I laid out here the multiples of 111. And you go 111, 222, of course, 333, and then you get to 999. I mean, many people stop there. But if you keep going, you get some of these other numbers here. And then you get to 1776, which is the 1, 2, 3, 4, okay, so there's 9, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, the 16th multiple of 111. So that's interesting. What do we make about that now? Well, not much right now other than it's very interesting. Because this seal of the sun, I believe, is related heavily, if not directly, to the Great Pyramid of Giza that has the capstone missing. All right. So let's just step back here and analyze this. Who was involved in the process of creating and selecting America's Great Seal? I mean, that's really where we'd start if we want to try to figure this out, if we want to see if it was a Masonic conspiracy to create the New World Order with America. Which, by the way, think about it for a minute. 1776 was on the base of that pyramid. That was a number significant of America's dependent or independence from any other nation. They wanted to be separate. That's totally different than this New World Order that's being built today. Antichrist world government, where all nations are interdependent upon one another. That's not what our founding fathers had in mind. 1776 was all about independence from tyranny, and it was about liberty. Now, were they perfect? No, they weren't. And if many of you have done our series in the book of Deuteronomy, I had some issues with certain parts of the Constitution. Most notably, the preamble. Because it wasn't specific enough about America being a nation under God or under the King, Jesus Christ. Though it was assumed by many, I think they made an error by not being specific about it there. Anyways, that's another topic for another time. But so who was involved in the process of creating America's Great Seal? Well, let's get into that. The first committee. Now, you can do a search. I'm actually going to post a book up, links to a couple books. One of them's a fascinating book written in the late 1800s that lays out this whole thing in detail. There are others that you can get from Amazon today. Raymond E. Capps got a book called Our Great Seal, and I'll get a link up to that as well here really soon. But anyways, who was on the first committee? Ben Franklin, John Adams, and Thomas Jefferson. All right, these were the three guys. Let's look at what they did here. Ben Franklin, in that meetings of the first committee, this is what he wanted. He wanted to have the seal say this: rebellion to tyrants is obedience to God. But look what he shows here. He's showing Moses on the, here's the Atlantic Ocean. Here's America on the East Coast here, showing like a type of Moses here. And the sea drowning the Britons, for trying to oppress the Americans. And then they show the then he shows up here the pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day. I mean, this is clearly in the first meeting here. Even Ben Franklin, who was a Mason and even a deist at one time at least, we'll talk more about him later, was this is what he wanted. It was directly pulled from the scriptures. All right. And Thomas Jefferson suggested something similar. We don't have a picture of it here, but he suggested that a depiction of the children of Israel in the wilderness led by a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day be the symbol of our great seal. Now that is so very interesting. So anyways, during the second committee, there were, this is what they came up with here. And this was developed by Francis Hopkinson, James Lovell, John Moran Scott, and William Churchill Houston. All right, the woman holding a liberty cap, possibly even symbolic of Mother Israel. And then a soldier over here and the 13 stars in a constellation, and so forth. Anyways, not going to get into those today because I want to be able to have time to make my point here. Third committee. John Rutledge, Arthur Middleton, Elias Badinat, I think that's how you say that, Arthur Lee, and William Barton. And they came up with this here. Now you see the pyramid is in here. The pyramid and an eye. No triangle, but an eye there. All right. Until after those three committees, actually Congress rejected all of those seals and said, no, we're not going to go with that. Three times. And then it was finally pushed onto the oversight of one man. And that was Secretary Charles Thompson. Now, this one man really holds the key to deciding or discerning whether or not this is a sinister plot by the Illuminati to bring forth the New World Order in America. Now listen to me. You might be thinking, well, just look at what America has become. We got the United Nations here. We've got the, you know, Hollywood, and we got all this sinister stuff that's working. Yes, that is true. And I can see where you can draw a connection. You can say, well, look at what we've become. And it must go all the way back to this symbol. But that's not the case. You look throughout history. With God's people, they start out righteous and holy, and then they become corrupt. And that's what's happened to America. Our seal has been reinterpreted. Our vision has been reinterpreted. And we've strayed away from the foundation of 1776 and before when the pilgrims came here. Again, there were some sinister founding fathers. I'm trying to think of one. I think it was Thomas Paine. So I'm not saying that they were all righteous. All I'm saying is God had a purpose for America and still does today. As well as the other Christian nations of the world. Israelite Christian nations of the world, to be more specific. But anyways, this is what he came up with. This was, I believe, his own drawing. And this he did not draw. He wrote a description of it. I just posted it here so you would see that he did approve of both of these. Okay, let's look more into why do I say that Secretary Charles Thompson really holds the key to whether or not this is the Great Seal is godly or ungodly? Well, it is because he was the one. There was no committee with him. He was the one to present these two symbols before Congress. And here's what he wrote here. And it describes all of the different parts of both the obverse and the reverse side of the seal. I'm not going to read it here today, but if you want to understand what was in his mind, it has nothing to do with a Masonic conspiracy. And I'm going to keep moving on here. I'll just read a part of it because I don't want to miss out on this point here. He says, the echelon in, this is kind of hard to read here. Okay, basically the one that the American Eagle is holding. Okay, let me just skip on down here. I'll just skip on down to the pyramid. He says, the pyramid on the reverse, I'm not even sure what that word is there, but the reverse side signifies strength and duration. The eye over it and the model allude to the many signed interpositions. Basically, what he's saying is it alludes to divine providence in favor of the American cause. And then goes on and so forth. Anyways, you can find this on Wikipedia, and you can go through and read this whole thing yourself. But I'm going to get back to him here. Charles Thompson was not a Mason. He was a devout Christian who spent many years of his life studying and translating the entire Bible from Greek into English. That's no short feat. That takes years and years. I think it might have even taken him 20 years to do this. And here's the work he published here. It's the Holy Bible containing the Old and New Covenant, commonly called the Old and New Testament, translated from the Greek by Charles Thompson, late Secretary to the Congress of the United States, published in 1808. All right, so here we got a man that was responsible for our Great Seal as being the Great Seal. And he translated the entire Bible from Greek, the Septuagint from Greek into English. Not only that, but he also wrote a 274-page synopsis in defense of the four Gospels. Think about that for a minute. He wrote a 274-page synopsis in defense of the four Gospels. And I read a lot of this work here. And it became obvious to me this man was not promoting any kind of conspiracy. And there is zero to no chance that he would miss a plot by the Illuminati to sneak a symbol in to represent their kingdom. Because this man was educated. He wasn't just a Bible-believing Christian, though he was. He was a scholar. He understood symbolism. He understood the wiles of the devil. He was not ignorant. And it came down, the Great Seal came down, came down to him. Basically, It was his final recommendation to Congress that gave us the Great Seal. Anyways, he's got here a synopsis of the four evangelists, or a regular history of the conception, birth, doctrine, miracles, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ. In the words of the evangelist, by Charles Thompson, and that was published in 1815. You know, the spirit of Antichrist is someone who denies that Jesus came in the flesh. The spirit of Antichrist comes through the likes of Dan Brown, trying to cast doubt upon the virgin birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, among many other things, trying to say he was married to Mary Magdalene and things like that. We have to be careful. There is this there is a purposeful disinformation campaign to discredit America, Christianity, there's a lot going on today here lately about the Apostle Paul. People trying to discredit the Apostle Paul. I mean, you have to be on guard. You have to use common sense, and you got to be diligent in your research. All right. Again, it came under this seal here, passed under the oversight of this godly man, Charles Thompson, who was no buffoon, but well-educated and a scholar for God's kingdom. Then go back to Ben Franklin here. Yes, it is true. He is the only documented Freemason that actually took part in the formation of the Great Seal. But his choice was a biblical choice, and even that it never became a part of our Great Seal. I'm going to read what he wrote, even coming from this man who was a deist and a Mason. He says, "I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this great truth, that God governs in the affairs of men, and if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid? We have been assured, sir, in the sacred writings, that except the Lord build, they labor," it should be vain, I apologize for that, "they labor in vain that build it. I firmly believe this, and I also believe that without his concurring aid, we shall succeed in this political building no better than the builders of Babel." And in this address to the other founding fathers of America, he was suggesting that they open Congress every day in prayer. Benjamin Franklin. Now, many people believe that this quote, later on in the life of Ben Franklin, was due to the possibility that he converted to Christianity later on in his life. And I think that's a strong possibility, because it really seems here that after, you know, they had been going for some time, that he realized that except the Lord build, they labor in vain that build it. And he did not want to build the Tower of Babel. And if that's what they were trying to do, America would have looked a lot different than it has throughout the centuries. Yes, it's getting really bad right now. I understand that. And I lament because of it. But God still has a purpose for this great land. Because there is a remnant here who are holding their ground against Satan's new world order. You know, back to the front side of the Great Seal. Did you know that the eagle and the serpent are enemies? And the eagle, with his keen eye, can swoop down, snatch a serpent from great distances and devour him. Now think about that for a minute. In the book of Revelation, Revelation 12, I don't have the verse up on the screen here for you today, but it was a battle between basically you see the symbols of the eagle, symbolic of God, that helped the woman to keep her safe from the dragon, from the serpent. And I feel that America has been that place. Again, though it's really having issues today, though it's had a lot of problems, it's been the safest place for Christians to worship God the way they see fit. Anyways, moving on. And I'll go back to this Apollyon Rising book here again. You know, the author mentioned over and over again that Ben Franklin was a Mason. And he even suggested things such as he said there were bodies found near Ben Franklin's home, and alluded to the fact that Ben Franklin might have been doing scientific experiments on people and doing some horrible things with drills and whatever else. And I haven't checked into a lot of that, but my personal opinion is it's probably a bunch of hype, because he states that in the beginning of his book, to really get you to look at America's founding as a devilish plot. And it gets your heart pumping. You start thinking, what's going on here? Oh my gosh, Ben Franklin, bodies under his house and stuff like that. And so on. I'm sure there's a logical explanation for it. I just haven't had time to look into that aspect of it. But anyhow, I'll say it again. The author had a lot of knowledge concerning the pagan mysteries, but other things just didn't add up. They just didn't add up. Anyways, the kingdom of God, well, what I think we're going to discover here is that the front and the reverse side of the Great Seal represent the kingdom of God in the old, under the old and new covenants. And here's a verse to support that here. Here's some verses to support that. I'm going to read from Deuteronomy 32, verses 10 through 12. It says, he found him in a desert, speaking of Jacob. God found him in the desert. And in the waste and howling wilderness, he led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. Check this out. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. Deuteronomy 32, verses 10 through 12. Think about that for a minute. The eagle is a symbol of God's oversight over our nation. And you have that on both. You have a symbol of God's oversight on both sides of the seal. All right, I'm going to go to the next one here. Oops, I should have deleted that. Anyways, from 1 Peter 2, verse 5, you also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2, verse 5. So Peter even describes Christians as being a stone building, which I believe, you know, this pyramid here is an obvious, you see the desert here and so forth, is an obvious reference to the Great Pyramid of Giza that's missing the capstone. And one interesting part about that pyramid is that on the outside of it, there used to be 144,000 polished limestones as a casing around that pyramid, making it smooth and bright. When the sun would hit it, it would look like a star on the earth. And if you remember from Revelation chapter 7, there were 144,000 of Israelites sealed, 12,000 from each tribe before the end would come. Think about that. I feel that this is what Peter was referring to. Whoopsie. We're going to go back to another verse here. Matthew 21, verse 42, Jesus saith unto them, did you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Matthew 21, verse 42. And I believe we're going to document throughout this series that the head of the corner is the capstone to the Great Pyramid. And it is fascinating. All right, hey, we barely scratched the surface, but I hope you can see now that this idea that this was originally an Illuminati symbol does not hold water. And again, we're going to get into more scriptures such as this one that you're seeing here. And we're going to try to understand each part of the seal. You know, it is believed by many scholars who can understand the mysteries of the kingdom that our forefathers, for the most part, when designing this seal, did not understand the full impact of what they were designing. You know, they looked at it probably a little bit more with a little bit more simplicity than what the signs ultimately mean, the symbols. In other words, they designed something that had a lot more meaning than they even intended, or perhaps were aware of. And it was likely done, no doubt, by the hand of God, the one that's been watching over our nation from the beginning of time, even during the time of the Assyrian and Babylonian captivities. In the book of Hosea, God said, hey, I'm going to divorce Israel. They're going to go through the 7 times punishments. They're going to be called Lo-Ami, not my people. And then after those 7 times punishments are over, he said, I will say to them that you are no longer not my people. You are no longer Lo-Ami, but you are now Ami, my people. Hey, I hope you enjoyed this study. Don't miss any of the ones coming up. Again, we're just getting started, but like we always say, because Christ said it in Matthew chapter 4 when he was tempted of the devil. He said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So see that you study it. See that you consume it on a daily basis so that you can be a Christian overcomer.